Reading from Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 36.
Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." That was Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 36.
And that was the voice of Captain Kenyon Civils, who's a developing good friend. Gosh, I love this guy even more after last Thursday's gathering. More to say about him and our special guest today. But, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, July 29th, 2024. Wow, wow. Wow. I attended a gathering. It was a Christmas in July hosted at the Vineyard Church on behalf of the Salvation Army of Champaign County. And I have to say, I've been to dozens and dozens of these fundraisers over the many years. And there were so many aspects of this gathering that were not only a blessing to me and all that attended, but it allowed me to meet a very, very special person who's joining us in the studio today. In fact, I've already titled today's program, Calling, Redemption, and Transformation. I believe that's the title God gave me as I drove to the studio this morning. And so we're going to have more to say about this special guest in just a minute or two. But Kenyon, after Thursday night last week, I learned a little more of your story. I've had you on before. I've had Melissa on, your beloved wife, also Captain Melissa, and Aaron and other of your staff members I've gotten to know in the last few months being here with our special studio set up, but you are perfect for this special calling to help oversee with Melissa the Salvation Army work that God's doing. And I just learned a little more about your story because we interviewed you last year and I've interviewed Melissa, but I didn't know a whole lot more about your personal faith journey and story. But now I'm seeing how God has perfectly fitted your background experience, your heart for people, your love for assisting those that are hurting or that haven't been cared for or that have needs. And so I want to, before we introduce your special guest, in a snapshot, a little of your faith journey and how God has perfectly positioned you and your wife, Melissa, to be the captains here for Champaign County.
Sure. So faith journey is really unspectacular. I got saved on Halloween, which is probably the most flashy part of it. My mom started going to church as we were coming out of foster care, my brother and me, and started going to just a tiny storefront church with the children of the church were me and my brother. And she didn't want us trick-or-treating, so took us to a different church's Halloween gathering, and there was candy and a party and whatever else that was there. And there was a service. And I remember we were up in the balcony, and I felt something to go forward and didn't understand it, but I did. And now know that that's where I accepted Christ. And what happened shortly after that, my brother and I began going to the Salvation Army Church in Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska, with my dad. And we got a new youth pastor. And the youth pastor, he and his wife, they had a daughter, and then they had a son, and their son was a few months older than I am, so the same age. And that is really where I grew in my faith, through Pastor Randy, Pastor Melinda, and Mike. And having Mike there was just great. That really was kind of the beginning. And in terms of calling and equipping, it's amazing because God does work and usually we don't see. Yesterday at church, we sang the song Waymaker. And a line in the song says, "Even when I don't see it, you're working." We preached yesterday from Luke 7 about where's God when we hurt. We don't always see or feel, but God is often there. And the beauty of the gospel is he takes brokenness, he takes things that we don't recognize, and he really develops and brings fruit. And so some of the circumstances of my childhood, I grew up in a household that, you know, most folks haven't. There's some drug abuse. There was some foster care, as I mentioned. There was some separation, myself and my brother, from my mom and my dad. And once we got out of foster care, we went back with my mom. My dad was not present, but had a relationship with him. So essentially, it's a single parent household. And for a lot of my formative remembering years, you don't remember a ton when you're five and whatever, but for my formative remembering years, God really equipped me with a heart of compassion for the people who come through our doors at the Salvation Army every day. Some of them go through circumstances like I went through. Some of them encounter things that I encountered. And the boys, the girls, the children, most of them are in families, are in households with a mom, with a dad who are working hard. They're trying. And I see that looking back on my childhood. I had a dad who was trying. I had a mom who was trying. And then once we were back with my mom post foster care, I had a mom who was really trying. Right. And again, the beauty of faith and the beauty of the body of Christ is I've seen people come alongside her, certainly through the vehicle of the Salvation Army. And my wife and I have the chance to do that. Mm-hmm. We have the chance now to come alongside moms, dads, people who are just trying, who are trying to better their lives. And we're so humbled with the Salvation Army to be a part of their journey, to try and equip them, to give them the tools as they work to make their lives, to make their families better.
That's why I chose the calling, the redemption, the transformation, because I've witnessed firsthand these last 9 months getting to know you and having a relationship with you and Melissa and seeing firsthand all the services that you provide, all the people that come in for food and attend various sessions that you have and the training that you do and your passion and your commitment to them. But what I learned this past Thursday with your childhood, I didn't realize that your mother at the time was taking drugs, and you're healthy, you're whole, you're athletic, you're funny, you're really well balanced. How did you turn out so good in light of all that? And maybe I'm only seeing the best side of you, but I've seen you under pressure. I've seen you at meetings. I've seen you in a lot of different settings, out for dinner. And my admiration for you personally has just grown tremendously after hearing the speaker last Thursday and then seeing you up on stage presenting all the different services and talk about the unique role that you and Melissa get to have as captains with the Salvation Army. And I'm like, wow, in light of knowing a little more about his background from last Thursday, how did he turn out so healthy? Because I know your mom at the time was taking cocaine and on drugs when you were not born yet. And so you should have had some brain injury or some developmental issues or a host of different things. You don't take drugs when you're pregnant. And yet I was like, wow, how are you so healthy? And I asked you that right after Thursday night, and you said, praise the Lord, Jesus protected and cared for me. And so I wanted to share some of your story again, because I just think the work that the Salvation Army is doing, not only here in the greater Champaign County, but we appreciate Major Eddie in Springfield, and the Salvation Army provides services throughout many communities, obviously throughout Illinois and Indiana, but throughout the country. And so I just had a greater appreciation hearing more of your story and all the things you're doing. So I think this was the second time you've had a Christmas in July to raise additional funds for all the services you provide.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really phenomenal. Last year, when my wife and I moved to town, the event was a week and a day later.
That's
from
right.
When we
took
over. You were
just getting settled.
And so lots of faces that we didn't know, and some of those we got to see again last week, and it really was great. Yeah, lots of commentary about how, you know, last year was good. taking nothing away from certainly our board who helped do a lot of footwork. And we had another employee who was part of the Salvation Army at the time who put in great work. So not taking away from their efforts by all means, but a lot of commentary on how this year was exponentially better. Mm-hmm. Some of the loose ends were tightened and then the speakers were great. It's been out for a while that Jay Lehman was our headliner and Jay's on our board and he did a phenomenal job, but the whole room was just captivated. And you were mentioning my story in childhood and we have choices. Right now, I could leave a conversation with you and I could go make a reckless choice. Mm-hmm. I could make a choice right now to go and steal a Snickers bar because I haven't eaten anything yet today. I could make that choice and I have that ability. However, when a baby is in their mother's womb, they have no choice. And when you asked, and I think I said, certainly not trying to be trite, not trying to be cliche, I had no choice. It was the Lord's protection who ordained those things. Right. And one of the many, many reasons why I hold faith and I believe in Jesus and I am a Christian today is I've seen God's sovereign hand of protection over my life, over my wife's life. I've seen the way that God has orchestrated for his glory and his beauty, hardworking moms and dads who come through our doors. Just beautiful young boys, young girls, young families who come through our doors and how God has knit them together perfectly. And we have the honor, the privilege, their need in the moment might be a hug. Their need in the moment might be a bag of food. Their need in the moment might be a conversation on how to cook spaghetti. Mm-hmm. Their need in the moment might be, this is a key or a tip or a life hack on how to be a good mom, good dad, good son, good daughter, those kinds of things. And the needs of the moment vary, and events like our Christmas in July fundraiser last week really help go to support the work that we do to stand in the gap for those families and for those people.
Yeah, I attended last year and thoroughly enjoyed it. And this year, again, was just so wonderful. And that's one of the reasons we have this other special guest that I want to introduce our listeners to. Mary, I so appreciate your storytelling, your ability. I've been to dozens and dozens of fundraisers, and there were many points throughout your sharing that you could hear a pin drop. And I've never, ever been in a fundraiser such as what was happening last Thursday, where you sustained silence, complete silence. I was just shocked. It was wonderful, but your story and your ability to tell the redemptive work that God did in your heart and the transformational work he was doing took our breath away. And I watched, I just like to observe, and people were being ministered to. They were being blessed. They were in awe of what you had to go through and how you suffered, and yet how God continued to pursue you. And then the tremendous godly woman you've become and are becoming, and the communication. I was like, I don't think she's got her master's or PhD, but she is so effective in telling her story, which was filled with heartache and many unbearable experiences. And so I'm thinking we're pretty far into the program. It's going to probably take a program or two, but I would love you to share some of that redemptive work and transformation that took place. But you have to take us back to a dysfunctional family, heartache, hurt, so people can really understand what God has done to give them hope. Because they might be praying for a loved one that's strayed. They may be in the same kind of circumstances, or they may have been violated or abused and thought, well, God doesn't love me. And you went through a period where you also felt like, why was I brought into this world? Was it just to experience pain and heartache? How could there be a loving God behind all this? So could you take us through some of your journey all the way back to some of your childhood?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. It's a privilege and an honor. I remember back to about the age of four, and I just remember a lot of dysfunction. Both my parents were alcoholics. I'm the youngest of eight children. Everybody went through drugs. Everybody went through being alcoholics. Many of us went to jail. There was domestic violence continuously. And so that's what I remember growing up till the age of 11. My father passed away in April of 1975, and my mother passed away in March of 1977. So by the time I was 12 and a half, 13, I was orphaned. I went into foster care. After my father passed away, I started smoking cigarettes. I learned how to roll a joint. So those were just kind of some behaviors that I picked up. But by the time I was 12, I had my first drink, my first drug, and my first cigarette. I went to foster care shortly after that, about the age of 14. And in that foster home, I was raped in that foster home. I was treated as if I was like the babysitter and the housekeeper and those things. When I talked last week, there was so much to say, and some things that I didn't share was that my father's friend sexually abused me and my sisters. But then one day I had a premonition. I don't know if it was a premonition, a vision, a flashback, or however you want to phrase that. But my friend, one of my best friends, I don't know if it was her grandfather, her father, or both, that also sexually abused us, you know, just by touching. So those were some of the things that I experienced as a little kid growing up. Anyway, back to the foster home situation. I was there for about 2 years, but from age four till I was 14, all I knew was dysfunction. All I knew was trauma, and that was my normal. But it's probably not normal for other people, or it may be normal for some. When I was 16, I went to a different foster home, and that was way different because there was food in the refrigerator all the time where you could, like, have a drink of pop. It was just normal. I had nice clothes to wear. They sat down and had dinner as a family, went to church as a family. That was not normal for me. It was actually very intimidating. And so I sabotaged that foster home and left. And then the state of Utah decided that it was okay to put me on independent living. Like, I'm 16, 17 years old, complete mess, no guidance, no direction, don't have none of those things that a 16-year-old would have. And they decided that it was okay for me to be on my own. So I couch surfed here and there.
And explain, what do you mean you couch surfed?
Oh, couch surfing means like sleeping on one person's couch and one night, another person's couch, maybe two nights. I even couch surfed at my oldest sister's house, but I was never invited to live there. Couch surfed, and I dropped out of school. And so by the time I'm 18, I'm still a mess. But I had switched my addiction because someone introduced me to cocaine, and the first time I tried to snort it, it didn't stay on my nose, so it wasn't for me. But then I met an individual, and they taught me how to shoot it. And then I thought, well, I'm at the big time with big-time drug users because I'm using cocaine. Little did I know that it would take over my life for years. I began selling my body to support my habit. And I did that for many years. When I was 23, I found out I was pregnant, wasn't sure who the father was. I didn't take care of myself, didn't take care of my own unborn child, and at that point in my life, I was completely homeless. I slept in the stairway. Apartment complexes where there'd be like two exits, so if somebody came in, I could either go up the stairs or go down the stairs or just leave if I didn't feel safe. And then I met this man, and he was a really nice man, although the first time we met, he was a trick, but we developed a relationship. He came to Salt Lake, and then he left. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I'm pregnant, like I said. And then I met this other guy, and he was so gross. He said that I could live with him as long as I had sex, so it was kind of like this bartering thing where I obviously needed a place, a stable place, and it wasn't stable, it wasn't healthy, the environment wasn't good. So I left there, and I believe I went to go live with my sister and a friend of hers. And everybody's on drugs in my atmosphere, in my life. Everybody's on drugs. So we're all shooting up cocaine, and maybe there's one or two people that are shooting up heroin, but we're all just shooting up. So at that apartment, that was like the shooting gallery. That was the home I took my son to. But during my pregnancy, I was a full-blown cocaine addict using IV drugs. I used every day, all day through my pregnancy. I would go to my doctor's office. I was considered high risk, obviously. I would go to my doctor's office, and before I would even go in to see the doctor, I would do a blast. That's a shot. And then when I'd come out, I'd do one, and I would just throughout the day, I'd get up, I'd eat, I'd get dressed, and it was off to the races to go and do cocaine. So I was going to name my child Samantha because I was just totally believing that I was going to have a girl. Mm. And at night, I would lay down, be like 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm going through withdrawals. The baby's going through withdrawals. And the baby's just moving and kicking and kicking. And I'd rub my belly and say, Sammy, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Little do I know that maybe that was a way of praying, but I didn't. I just would rub my belly and say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And then I had the baby, and the baby was a boy.
Well, maybe that was a way of praying, and we're going to continue with your testimony on tomorrow, Testimony Tuesday, because there's so much more to this redemptive story, the transformation that took place. And so, listening friend, I invite you to tune in for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends as my special guest Mary will continue telling the story. And none of us are outside the reach of God's redemptive plan. He loves you. He cares for you. Yes, you might be in the midst of circumstances that are intolerable. You might feel betrayed, disenfranchised, hurting, but God does care. He created you. He loves you. He has a plan and purpose for you. And as you draw closer to him, as Mary did, as Captain Civils has, as Kenyon has, as Melissa has, as I have, you'll find out that redemptive plan. And sometimes it'll take all eternity for us to experience his love and to really understand that he was there with us during those trying, hurtful, harmful times. But join us again tomorrow, and trust me, you're going to be blessed by the rest of the story as Mary and Kenyon will return for Testimony Tuesday. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Captain Kenyon Civils, and my special guest Mary with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.